Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you've just joined in, you're listening to Radio Islam International. Welcome to the program Family Health Matters. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah, it's wonderful to be with you again this afternoon. We have a beautiful wind afternoon here in Gauteng, especially here in Indonesia. And first up on our Family Health Matters is health news. And today we share with you some groundbreaking medical developments that are changing the lives of patients every single day. It's a world first heart valve repair, and I'm going to give you this information in a minute. That will be followed by our topic of discussion, and that is how to change to a healthier lifestyle and of course healthier eating. And for this discussion we'll be joined by our dietitian, Sister Amina Dindar, inshallah. So that's what you can look forward to. Of course our lines will be open. If you have any questions or concerns, please feel free to contact us. 011-854-1548 is the number, or you can SMS or WhatsApp me on the number 082-84-92-786. Now for our health news, it's like I said, groundbreaking medical developments that are changing the lives of patients every single day, and we're talking about a world first heart valve repair. International medical history was made at Mediclinic's Panorama earlier this year when a team of doctors performed the first ever non-surgical closure of a leaking heart valve on a transposed heart. Marion Cronier, 59 years of age, from Stellenbosch, was born with dextrocardia situs inversus, an unusual physical anomaly that means the heart is an exact mirror image of a normal heart and is positioned on the right side of the heart, or the chest rather than on the left. So the heart is actually on the right side rather than on the left side. As a result of rheumatic fever, she had undergone 4 open heart operations over a period of 40 years. Her last operation, a valve replacement in 2000, was successful, but scar tissue and other complications meant this was considered her final surgery. However, this valve developed a leak and her condition deteriorated to the point where she could do little for herself. She was referred, of course, to Dr. Helmut Weisch at Mediclinic Panorama as a possible candidate for a non-surgical heart valve repair operation. Now, the 6-hour non-invasive procedure was performed through a needle puncture in the patient's groin. A tube was fed through a vein into the right atrium of the heart, and a hole was made in the wall of the heart to provide access to the left atrium. The leak in the mitral valve was enclosed with 2 disc-like devices, which are usually used to close birth defects in children's hearts. Now, this procedure is technically very difficult in a patient with normal anatomy and had never been done on someone with dextrocardia, that is, you know, the heart being on the other side. Instead of being on the left-hand side, the heart is on the right-hand side, according to this Dr. Weisch. For this reason, he called on the expert advice and assistance of 2 international experts, Professor Eric Eckhout and Dr. Alan Delabaise, who flew to Cape Town from Switzerland. Now, this operation was considered a success, and the improvement of Mariana's quality of life once she has made a full recovery will be significant. Yes, and that is one, our health news for today. Alhamdulillah, wonderful things happening out there in the medical field. Right. Now, before we go on to joining our dietitian, Sister Amina Dinda, I'd like to just remind our listeners about our Radio Islam's roadshow and outside broadcast that will be taking place from Durban, inshallah, this weekend. It says that Radio Islam is certainly going to be making waves in KwaZulu-Natal. Radio Islam is embarking on an extensive tour of KwaZulu-Natal to interact with loyal listeners in the province. Scheduled for this weekend, many of Radio Islam's ulama and presenters, they will be hosting various programs from the coastal cities of Durban and Sherwood. To kick off the tour, the Juma Bayan and the Khutbah at Masjid-e-Salihin in Sherwood will be rendered by Mufti Yusuf Musaji, complemented by mesmerizing Qiraat recitation after Maghrib. Women can look forward to an inspirational ladies-only workshop hosted by Umi Abdullah and Sister Zakira Ansar Mia, with a panel of fantastic speakers who will be offering insight on intellectual, spiritual and psychological impediments to becoming a fabulous Muslima. Not to be outdone, Hafiz Shakir Bayat will be engaging with the youth who will have a chance to pitch their football skills in a freestyle competition with great prizes up for grabs for the winners. There will be a special appearance by Zainuddin Crazy Legs Patel. For the kiddies and even mummies and daddies, join the Nizam Hour team with Hafiz Yusuf Rawat on the Nizam Hour for a fun-filled show singing along to your favorite nasheeds and nizams. Well, join Radio Islam this Friday, the 4th of March, till late on Saturday for a jam-packed educational weekend. Selected programs will be broadcast live on Radio Islam, so stay tuned for or visit our website for more details, www.radioislam.co.za. So to all our listeners out there in the Durban area, please try and attend this program. Inshallah, it promises to be a very exciting and inspirational weekend, few days. Thank you so much. Well, I hope we have our guest online, and we're now going to be talking to our guest, Sister Amina Dinda. Alhamdulillah. We are already in the first week of March, and today on our show, we're speaking to our registered dietitian, Sister Amina Dinda. First, however, a little about what dietitians do in general. In my experience, talking to, you know, random women or friends and family out there, I discovered that most people think dietitians do one of the following. Number one, they either tell you what they can't, what we can't eat, that is those yummy foods, of course, or they tell you what they can eat, and that, I think, would be those healthy rabbit foods, or see a combination of both of these. First of all, dietitians go through an intense science, heavy education and training before they can be certified and registered as dietitians. This also distinguishes them from nutritional experts. Dietitians work in very diverse areas, from clinics and hospitals. They work for community and public health programs. They work at universities, extended care facilities, and of course in private practice as well. And yes, joining me today is Sister Amina Dindar, who is a dietitian. And yes, we're going to be talking about how to change to a healthier lifestyle and also, you know, eat much more healthier, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Amina. Thank you so much for joining me this afternoon on our Family Health Matters program.
Walaikum salam to you, Sister Zenith, and to all the listeners. And alhamdulillah, jazakallah for giving me this wonderful opportunity to share my knowledge with you and the rest of the listeners of Radio Islam.
Yes, definitely. Jazakallah khair. I know I had you on, supposed to have had you online on our program, you know, I think for quite a few weeks ago already. But it's wonderful to have you with us, and jazakallah khair for all your patience. I had to cancel with you quite a few times, but jazakallah khair for joining us today. It's wonderful to have you with us. And like I said, we're going to be talking about, you know, how to change our lifestyles to a healthier one and start eating much more healthier. You know, what happens is in the beginning of the year, we normally make all those, you know, resolutions, alhamdulillah, that this is the year. We're going to change our way of eating. We're going to change, you know, our lifestyles all together. And we're going on to a diet, or we're going to do, make sure that we lose our weight and all those, you know, promises we make to ourselves. Now, I wonder, you know, many of us started off with that resolution. It's March already, and I wonder how many of us are actually in it, or sticking to it, or have even started with it. So, yes, alhamdulillah, you know, this is what we normally do. Would you like to comment on that first, before we start our program?
Sister Zina, you are so right. It's so unfortunate that we only set these goals at the beginning of the year. And often we set these massive goals that I want to lose so much of weight, I want to fit into the dress that I fitted into 5 years ago. And we set all these big goals for ourselves. And then after a week, even sometimes after a few days, we realize how impossible this is, that we're setting these big goals, and we realize how difficult it is. And then we just go back and we fall back, and then we say, okay, maybe tomorrow I'll start. Okay, a friend brought some cookies for me today. I have to finish these biscuits before I start. And then we fall back and we keep saying tomorrow, tomorrow. And then it's only after a few months that we realize that tomorrow is too late. And we need to start focusing on maintaining these goals of ours and following them strictly, and trying to set more realistic goals for ourselves, not only on a yearly basis, maybe on a weekly basis. And inshallah, in this way, we can have a more positive outcome from the goals that we're setting.
Yes, certainly. I know many of us do this, you know, and you mentioned it earlier, where we have all these wonderful clothes hanging in our cupboards, and we just wouldn't
give it away.
Yes, we can't even give them away, because we always think, I think I'll get into them some stage. But years goes by, and, you know, it gets worse and worse, and your cupboards are getting fuller and fuller, and you don't realize, you know, that it's not going to come there at all if you don't make an effort, you know, a sincere effort. Alhamdulillah. So let's talk about a healthy, balanced diet. What exactly is a healthy, balanced diet?
Okay, so it's so sad, because we've become so overcome with all these new diets that are out there, the fastest way to lose weight, the quickest way to lose weight, the easiest way to lose weight. And we actually just need to go back and look back at all the basics that we all know about nutrition and about dieting and about healthy eating. And we all just need to follow a healthy, balanced lifestyle more than just a diet, because what it entails is eating the right amount of food for your individual needs, eating the right types of foods, and obviously including variety in your meals, which is something that we sometimes often lack. And also it's following a lifestyle that is low in fat, low in sugar, and low in salt as well. And also following a healthy lifestyle, it's a lifestyle that's going to promote health, and it's also it should also be sustainable in the long term, specifically in terms of adherence to it, availability and affordability of the foods, as well as social and cultural acceptability. This is very important, and it's often that we're lacking. We often find that we look at diets and we think that they're so difficult, they're so expensive. We often think that it's expensive to live healthy, but we just need to look at our basics, our basic food guidelines, our basic food groups, which is our starches, our proteins, and our fruits and vegetables. And we need to include these in the right amount into our daily life. And inshallah, we'll all be able to live a healthy, balanced lifestyle. And we won't find it expensive, and we'll be able to set these goals that we all one day hope to achieve.
Yes, and you know, one of the things that so many of us are so worried about these days is how expensive the foodstuffs are these days. You know, if you go and you buy meat, it is so expensive. Fish is just as expensive. And, you know, these are all things. Fruits and vegetables have also, mind you, become quite expensive from what they used to be. And also another thing that I've noticed many times is, you know, the moment when you're talking about diets, when the moment you decide that you're going on a certain kind of diet or you know, just a normal diet, I'm going to change my ways of eating, I'm going to start eating less. You sometimes, you know, you automatically, instead of starting to eat less, you end up eating more. I don't know why that is, but it does happen.
So true. It does happen because often when we think about diet or when we think about changing the way that we're eating, we overcome with all these ideas that we need to be eating all these healthy things, like you said, rabbit food. And it's often things that we don't have in our homes. Also, we're lazy. We don't plan ahead. So obviously, if I want to start a diet, I need to plan myself properly. I need to plan my meals. And then it's something that we don't end up doing. So we just eat whatever is available for us. For example, at tea time, the easiest, most available thing for us is biscuits and cakes. And it's something that is there. So we're not planning for all these type of things. And we just go with whatever is the easiest and the most available for us. And if we sit down and we plan ourselves, we plan our lifestyles, we plan our diets a little bit better, you will notice that it's much easier to live a healthier lifestyle if you just plan properly. The same with fruits and vegetables. We often complain that it's so expensive, we can't afford it, we just buy the basics. But what's important to remember is that it's something that you can also, most of us have a small garden, we have pots available to us. We can plant these little vegetables and grow it ourselves, and you'll be surprised how much of money this can save you.
Mm-hmm. And yes, you know, actually talking about these little vegetable gardens, you really don't need that much of space. They say people in flats can actually also you know, have their little vegetable gardens, and just by like you say, you know, planting them in little pot plants. Alhamdulillah. Okay, we're going to take a short break, Sister Amina, and when we come back, we will continue with our program. A reminder to our listeners, if you have any questions or concerns, you know, or any input for that matter, then please call us on the number 011-854-1548, and you can also SMS or WhatsApp me on 082-849-2786. We have a dietitian, Sister Amina Dindar, with us online. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Family Health Matters. I'm your host, Sister Zinat. And my guest today is a dietitian, Sister Amina Dindar. And we're talking about how to change to a healthier lifestyle and also, obviously, to, of course, have a healthier diet. Alhamdulillah. Now, Sister Amina, are you still there with us? Thank you so much for, once again for joining us on this program. Now, let's talk about a balanced lifestyle. Why is it so important to follow a balanced lifestyle?
Okay, so following a balanced lifestyle is important because it's going to maintain our weight, firstly, which is something that we know is most important, because gaining too much of weight over a long period of time, also gaining excessive amount of weight, even if it's in a matter of a few months, has negative effects on our health, and it also would increase our risk for chronic diseases such as diabetes, heart disease, increasing our blood pressure, increasing our cholesterol. So living a balanced lifestyle will prevent excessive or gradual weight gain. It will also help to provide optimal nutrition for energy, growth, and health throughout the life cycle. And also it prevents, it prevents chronic diseases, and it will also help us in assisting us with our daily functions for life. We know that by eating healthy, by taking in all the nutrients that our body requires, we'll live better, we'll feel better, and we'll be able to carry out our daily functions much better.
Okay, we have a question that's come in. It's with regards the My Pyramid. It says, I heard that My Pyramid has been replaced I'm sure we're going to talk about it in the next question that I have for you. It's with regards to the ideal diet, but maybe you can just answer it for me if it's okay with you. It's apparently my pyramid has been replaced. Is that true?
Okay, so the idea for my pyramid is not a South African concept. It's a concept that was adopted from overseas. And in South Africa, we don't use the my pyramid. However, if you do look at the my pyramid or the pyramid of food, of healthy eating, it basically gives us our food groups, which is starches, which would be the basis of our meals. We have our fruits and vegetables, which are important. We should have about three to five servings of those a day. We have our proteins, our meat, fish, eggs, beans, and then our dairy products, two or so servings a day. And then we have our fats and oils and sweets or sugars, which are in small amounts. So this is basically the concept of the my pyramid. And yes, we don't use it in South Africa. In South Africa, we're using the food-based dietary guidelines, but the concept is very similar to this.
Mm-hmm. I've heard about them talking about the a plate, mm-hmm. where you actually use your plate.
The plate model.
Yeah. Can you just perhaps tell us a little about that? What is this thing, the plate? How do you actually measure your food on that plate?
Okay, so the plate is one of the most basic methods we used for education for our patients, and I suppose it's the most simple way of eating or measuring the amount of food. So basically, your plate is divided into three portions. Firstly, it's divided into half, and one of the halves is divided into two quarters. So you basically have two quarters on your plate and then a half of your plate. The first quarter is your starches, which means starches should only fit half of your a quarter of your plate. A quarter of your plate measures about a cup of cooked starches, or a fistful, or the size of a fist. So that's your first quarter of your plate. The second quarter of your plate is your protein, so your meat, your fish, eggs, beans, should only fit a quarter of your plate. If you want to measure a quarter, it's about the size of the palm of your hand, excluding the fingers. And then half of your plate, which is the rest of your plate, should be your vegetables. And this is the way that we portion our food. So if you're looking for the correct portion, your plate should more or less look like this.
So it's basically just divided into three.
Into three to meet your three food groups.
Okay, so vegetables obviously is the most, and then quarter will be the starches, and then obviously
and the proteins.
Okay, mm-hmm. Now coming back to our question earlier, we were talking about the balanced lifestyle, the importance of it. Now, how do you actually make a healthy lifestyle habit? You know, your habits there. You're going to this, your mindset that I'm going to now start eating healthy, changing my whole lifestyle to a healthier one. But how do you make those habits actually stick? It's so difficult sometimes.
Okay, so it is really difficult, and it's something so difficult to stick by because especially us as Indians, our lives revolve around food. We're constantly thinking about what our next meal. We haven't even completed breakfast, and we're already thinking about our lunch and about our supper, in fact. And we've just basically based our lives around food and eating. And we've grown up with eating in a certain way, with eating certain types of food, and it's so difficult to change these. But like I said, if we want to live a healthy lifestyle, it is important to make these changes. One of the first and most important things, like I spoke about, is planning ahead of time. So make sure you're planning ahead of time so you have everything you need. Like I said, when you don't have the ingredients or the things you need, you often fall back on your diet or on your lifestyle, and you just go back to the easier, simpler things, and it might not always be that healthy. So planning is one of the most important things. The next and most important, the other very important thing, is knowing why you're doing this, why you're making these life changes. And it's so sad because we often realize it too late. once we've been to the doctor and the doctor's advised us that our cholesterol is too high or we're gaining too much of weight, that's the only time we realize that, okay, now's the time I need to make a change. And by then it's so far gone that we need to start much earlier, and we need to know why we want to eat healthier and why we want to make these changes. So it's a good idea to write down these changes, or write down these reasons for why you want to make this lifestyle change. Put it up in your fridge, go through it now and then whenever you're feeling a bit vulnerable to eating something unhealthy, and you'll always be able to remind yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Also, start setting some goals for yourself, but don't set short-term goals initially, and try to meet these, because you'll feel much better, you'll have a much more positive outlook if you're meeting your short-term goals instead of setting long-term goals and then you're struggling so much to get to these long-term goals. So set short-term goals, and it will help you pass the small barriers, okay?
Okay, sorry, Mark, can I come in here? When we talk about short-term goals, what are we actually... Mm-hmm. What should those goals be?
Okay, so for example, it could be something very simple. Maybe you're a person that you don't drink enough water. So your short-term goal for this week would be, I'm going to have my 8 glasses of water a day. So that's your goal for this week alone. So what you're going to do is you'll take a 2-liter bottle every morning, fill it up with water, keep it in the fridge, and every time you're going to drink water, you drink it out of your 2-liter. By the end of the day, you have a look at your 2-liter and it should be finished. So that's an example of an easy short-term goal. Another one would be maybe with your tea, you're having 2 biscuits. So rather you try to cut down. Instead of having 2 biscuits for every time you have tea, you only have 2 biscuits with your morning tea. And the rest of the time you now exclude your biscuits. So it's just setting small things that are achievable. So you know by the end of the day, like, I've been good today. I've had all my water. I've been good. I haven't had any biscuits for the day. So it's just setting these small things that you know you'll be able to achieve, and it will make you feel much better and much more confident in doing this.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds actually a very good idea. You know, I think I never thought of it that way, but alhamdulillah. And then the other, you know, you said first you jot down the reasons, mm-hmm. now the short-term goals, and then?
Okay, and then the last, and this is, I think, the most important thing, is to make it a family effort. Because often what happens is you find yourself that you're the only one in the family that now want to make this change, and the rest of the family is not interested. And what happens now, you've been so good the whole week or the whole day, and now it comes to supper time and everyone is drinking Coke on the table, and you feel terrible when everyone else can have that Coke and you can't, and you feel so depressed about it. And it really, really puts you back, because you feel so negative with yourself and you're so tempted. So it's important to include the entire family in this. It's not nice to be the only one that's eating in a certain way or eating a certain amount. Everyone should be included in this, and the family should sit down and discuss it and say, okay, this is important for me. We need to set these goals for ourselves. We need to make these lifestyle changes, because in the long term, it's going to affect all of us as a family. So we all need to make these changes, and we all need to follow these guidelines. And this is something that is very important, because this is mostly the reason that we fall back, is because we don't have enough support from our family unit, especially the people in our own home, and it really makes it difficult for us. Mm-hmm. So that's something that's very important that we should consider.
Yes, I think that is one of the most important things, you know, mm-hmm. the support that you get around.
Yes,
because
definitely.
Many, especially if it's now a person that really needs to lose weight for health matters, really, you know. And then you get these people, when you know, you don't always want to tell people, look, I'm on a diet now, because,
yes,
you can always diet later.
Yeah,
you eat today. Yeah. No, so I think family support plays such an important role. Anyway, let's look at an ideal diet. What exactly is an ideal diet?
Okay, so like I said, we've been bombarded with especially social media, where we us seeing all these fad diets, we see this quick and easy weight loss. When you think about, it's time I need to lose weight, the first thing we do is we go onto Google and we Google easy ways to lose weight or quickest ways to lose weight. And we come out with all these drinks and eating soup for the whole week, and people are commenting and saying that they've lost so many kilograms and it sounds amazing, and then we try this and we start doing it and we realize that it's not actually ideal for us, it's not helping us, we might lose weight after a week or 2 weeks, and then the minute we stop that we fall back and we've gained all the weight that we sometimes even more than we lost.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, we need to go back to what is important and making it an entire lifestyle change. So instead of going on a 2 week diet to lose weight, we need to make these lifestyle changes and choose the right types of foods and the right amounts of foods like I spoke about. And also, we need to make it a part of our life. So it shouldn't be for a short time. It should be lifestyle changes. So that when we, maybe when we go out to family functions, often we go on a diet, but the minute we're going out to the family function or we're going out with friends, we are not eating any healthy anymore. And then it becomes difficult to us. So we need to have such a lifestyle that it can incorporate and include these social functions or social things that we attend, that it doesn't affect us, it doesn't affect our weight or our lifestyle as much. So we need to be able to make the right choices no matter where we're going. And it's not basically the ideal diet, but the ideal lifestyle that we need to aim for.
I think it's so important, you know, we shouldn't just be, the lifestyle, ideal lifestyles, mm-hmm. or healthier lifestyle. It's not only about losing weight. It's about living healthy.
Definitely.
That's the whole idea, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you know, just for the benefit of our listeners and myself, of course, too, how often should one eat and just how much should one really eat? You gave us an idea about the plate earlier on, but, you know, how often should one actually be eating?
Okay, so this is very important because this is something most of us don't know, or even if we do know, we don't abide by this. And like I spoke about, I gave the plate model, which is something that we should all try to go by. But obviously, if you're going more in detail, more in depth, then it would be advisable to see your dietitian, and they would be able to advise you how much you should be eating for, because each individual is different in terms of the energy intake and the energy output. But looking at how much or how often we should be eating, and this is something that we don't do. Because we're so caught up in our lifestyles, we're so caught up in what we have to do, we often focus on our three big meals, our breakfast, lunch, and supper, obviously, which is our big meal. And our main emphasis, especially during the week, is our supper. It's the time the family's all together, we cooking for supper, so this is our biggest meal. And the problem with this is, usually after supper, we often just relaxing, we're just going to bed, we're reading, we're not doing anything physical. So we're taking in the most amount of energy at supper time, but we're not using any of that energy that we've taken in. So ideally, we should be eating throughout the day a small amount of food at regular intervals. So you would have your breakfast, a few hours later, 2 to 3 hours later, a snack, lunch, another snack, and then supper at night, so that at one point you're not overindulging. We all know that when you haven't eaten for a long time or when you're starving, you often find it very difficult to control yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You would eat anything in front of you. You would eat as much as you can because you're really hungry. You've been starving. You've been working. You've been out the whole day. So you get home and whatever you can find or whatever can fit into your plate, you eat all of that. And this is something that we need to try to avoid. And by doing this, we should try to eat regularly throughout the day, smaller amounts of food throughout the day. And this will be very beneficial in terms of controlling our blood sugar levels, controlling our amounts that we're eating, controlling our weight, and also preventing us from being out of control over what and how much we're eating.
Okay. We're going to take a short break. When we return, inshallah, we continue with a few more questions that I have for you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program Family Health Matters. I'm your sister Zenith, and my guest today is Sister Amina Dindar, who is a dietitian. And yes, let's continue with our program. Now, one of the things that I want to ask you, Sister Amina, is, you know, we spoke about being so hungry, you know, and you are basically starving. Many people are basically starving because they don't even take lunch to work or to school or whatever, or university, or, you know, whatever the case may be. And you do come home, and people, not all, but many people would actually be, you know, swallowing their food. How important is it for us to chew our food well?
Okay, this is very, very important. And like you said, we get so hungry often, and then we just rush to eat. I don't even know why we do it sometimes, but it is something that we do end up doing. The important thing about chewing is, by chewing our food, it stimulates the saliva. And many of us don't know this, but digestion starts in the stomach, in the mouth, sorry. So, by chewing our food, by releasing the saliva acts as a digestion for your food. It's actually an enzyme to digest your food. So, by chewing, you're releasing the saliva, and it's already stimulating digestion. Also, the mechanism of chewing sends signals to our stomach to prepare itself for the food. So, we actually sort of telling our stomach by chewing the food that, listen, yeah, I'm busy eating, and the food is on its way. So your stomach can in that way prepare itself for what's to come. So it's very, very important to chew our food. Also, something that we don't realize is when we eat too fast, or when we're not swallowing our food, chewing our food, we're just swallowing, we end up eating more because we don't realize that we're actually full, that we've actually had enough to eat. So we tend to overeat when we eat faster. That's why it's so important to eat slowly, to take your time when eating, to chew your food nicely, take breaks in between, because in this way you do get fuller much quicker, and in that way you prevent yourself from overeating.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I guess that's when bloating and all that also comes into effect.
Yes, because we're swallowing so much of air while we swallowing the food, and it does affect our stomach, and in that way we end up being bloated and uncomfortable post our big meals.
Okay, now, you know, it's very common these days that we all go out to eat. We're always going out to eat, maybe not so much during the week, but certainly come weekend, that means eating out. So how can I make healthy choices when eating out?
Okay, this is so important because we've become so used to going out on weekends with treating ourselves. We often say the kitchen is closed on Saturdays, and then we want to go out and treat ourselves after a busy, long, tiring week. And it's not always a bad thing if we want to go eat out, because while eating out, you can still make good choices or healthy choices when eating out. So one of the most important things is you want to try to go to places that that allow you a bigger variety of choice, so that you don't want to go to a place that only serves maybe fast food, because then you know you're not able to make these healthier choices. So try to plan before you're going out, make sure you know where you're going, and also sort of try to decide or try to focus on what you want to eat. Because when you're undecided and you go to a place, you become carried away with the menu and what they're serving and what's the specials for the day. So try to plan ahead so that you know what you're going to eat, what you're going to select, and it will be easier to make healthy choices in this way. like I spoke about, don't be overly hungry. So try to have a small snack, or make sure your snack time is a little before you're going out. Because when you arrive overly hungry at the restaurants, and we often know that it does take them a long time to prepare the food, especially over weekends when they're busy, then we become extremely hungry, and then we end up over-ordering, or we order too much. And we order all the wrong things, because when you're hungry, like I said, you're unable to control yourself, and you want the biggest meal, and you want mostly the most unhealthy meal. Mm-hmm. Also, try to think about your portions. Sometimes the portions that we get at the restaurants or these places, often one portion is often enough to feed more than one person. So it's often you can buy a parcel of fish and chips maybe, and it's enough to feed more than one person. So try to share your food with someone, or save your food for another meal, maybe the following day's lunch or the following day's breakfast, whatever it is. Try to reduce the amount you eat at the restaurant. Don't overeat, and you can save your portion for much later. Also, try to choose your vegetables over too much of starches. So often the restaurants give us the option of choosing veggies instead of having chips or rice all the time. So always try to go with the salad option if it's available, and try to drink water while you're at the restaurant. What we do is, they have these fancy drinks, there's Coke all over, and what we're doing now is, we're eating this big meal, we're eating so much, we're treating ourselves, and then we end up going to buy a Coke, we buy a juice, we buy a milkshake, and then we end up drinking our calories, which is something that's very, very harmful for us. So try to order water whenever you're going out, so that you're not adding on extra calories.
Okay. You know, we've actually run out of time, unfortunately, but I would love to have you with us again on another program, and we can continue, or we can talk about something else again. It was most interesting. I certainly do appreciate all the information that you shared with us, and I'm sure listeners out there as well.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure, and we hope to have you with us. If anybody would like to contact you, is it available, is it possible?
Not a problem.
Do we just give them the telephone number that you've given me?
That's fine.
Okay, fine. Thank you so much. And inshallah, we hope to speak to you again on other topics as well. But it was wonderful information that you shared with us today.
Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah so much for the opportunity. And looking forward to many more.
Inshallah. Well, that was Sister Amina Dindar, who is a dietitian, and she shared with us such wonderful information, and, you know, makes it sound so possible to be able to actually eat healthier and live a healthier lifestyle. Well, that's it then from us. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.